Welcome to Computing Lives, a podcast from the IEEE Annals of the History of Computing. The story of American computing is well told. Eckert and Mauchly, Howard Aiken, John Atanasoff. However, this podcast deals with a computing research effort on the other side of the globe, a project to build, in the Ukraine, the very first Soviet computer. It is entitled Sergei Lebedev and the Birth of Soviet Computing. Sergei Alexeyevich Lebedev, 1902 to 1974, was born on November 2nd in 1902 in the town of Nizhny Novgorod, Russia. In 1921, when he was 19, he entered the electrical engineering department of the Moscow Higher Technical School. While there, Lebedev specialized in the usual subjects of the time, high-voltage technologies. His undergraduate thesis, which was directed by Professor Krug, examined the relatively new problem of the stability of electrical power stations which were working in parallel. After graduating in April 1928, Lebedev became both a teacher at his school and a junior scientific researcher at the newly established V.I. Lenin All-Union Electrical Engineering Institute, where his professor was a director. At the Lenin Institute, Lebedev organized a laboratory dedicated to the investigation of electrical networks. A short while later, the Moscow Energy Institute was established, and Lebedev was named one of its first teachers. Throughout the 1930s, he continued both to teach and to conduct research at the Lenin Electrical Institute and at the Energy Institute. All of his research dealt with the construction of electric power stations and the reliable transmission of energy over high-voltage power lines. Lebedev's research in this area led directly to his attempt to solve complex mathematical equations, including systems of nonlinear differential equations. Lebedev and a number of other scientists at the Lenin Institute began to investigate the possibility of solving such equations by mechanical means. One of these scientists was I.S. Brook, who became interested in analog computing in 1936 after reading about the differential analyzer being built by Vannevar Bush at MIT. Brook designed his own differential analyzer, which he then constructed over the next several years. Another of Lenin's colleagues at the Lenin Institute, L.I. Guttenmacher, also became interested in analog computing and built several differential analyzers in the late 1930s and the early 1940s. Most of Lebedev's attention was focused on the construction of electrical power stations. Nonetheless, he was certainly aware of some of the work being done on analog machines by Brook, Guttenmacher, as well as similar Western developments. In October 1941, the Lenin Institute was evacuated to Sverdlovsk as Hitler's armies advanced. Upon his return to Moscow, 2 years later, Lebedev became the head of a new department at the Lenin Institute for the automation of electrical systems. One of Lebedev's biographers, academician Gluskov, goes as far as to suggest that Lebedev himself directed the construction of an analog differential analyzer at this time. Regardless of whether Lebedev was directly involved in the construction of such machines or not, his work on electric power made him acutely aware of the growing demand in science and engineering for the solution of mathematical problems by mechanical means. In May 1946, Lebedev was appointed the director of the Institute of Energy of the Ukraine Academy of Sciences in Kiev. Upon his arrival, he initiated a regular seminar aimed at easing the burden of scientific calculations required for the Institute's research. Based on Lebedev's previous experiences at the Lenin Institute, this group's initial investigations were aimed at producing analog devices. By early 1947, however, Lebedev increasingly turned his attention to digital computing. The seminar he established at the Institute of Energy played a key role in his transformation. Over the next several years, numerous prominent mathematicians, electrical engineers, and physicists participated in this seminar. Many of the concepts and principles that were subsequently incorporated into the Soviet Union's first electronic digital computer, the MESM, the small electronic calculating machine, were discussed and refined at this seminar. One of the leaders, who went on to work on numerous computing projects, presented lectures summarizing Soviet and foreign work on analog and relay computers. A. Karavich, a physicist, spoke about the development of magnetic recording of electronic impulses. In 1989, the mathematician B.V. Gadenko reported that a number of Soviet mathematicians made presentations on the types of problems that an electronic computer would be useful in analyzing, and they also helped to develop numerical methods by which these problems could be solved. Other ideas that were soon discussed included the concept behind stored program computer, the hierarchical organization of memory, and vacuum tube circuit design. By the middle of 1947, more specific design questions were being discussed, such as the advantages and disadvantages of floating point versus fixed point, and binary versus decimal representation, word length, different command address structures. At the time, Lebedev and his colleagues were in favor of building a binary machine with three-address command structure and floating-point numerical representation. Several people, however, argued that a fixed-point design with a very small word length, 17 bits, would be sufficient for many problems and far easier to engineer. About a year after Lebedev was appointed director in May 1947, the Institute of Energy split into two institutes, the Institute of Thermal Energy and the Institute of Electrical Engineering. Lebedev became the director of the latter. Shortly thereafter, he began work on the construction of the MESM, the first Soviet computer. With the help of academician M.A. Laurentiev, then vice president of the Ukrainian Academy of Sciences, Lebedev convinced the presidium of the academy to set up a special secret laboratory within his institute for the purpose of investigating electronic computers. The laboratory was called Laboratory No. 1 for Modeling and Control, and it was formally established in May 16, 1947. Once he had received funding, Lebedev set about organizing and staffing his laboratory. By early 1948, there were 9 or 10 people working in the lab. The majority of them had never heard the term electronic calculating machine when they joined the lab. Two of the young apprentices of 1948 recalled the day when Lebedev summoned them to his office and informed them that from that day forward they would be working on the design and construction of an electronic digital computer. At first, both assumed that Lebedev was referring to some sort of arithmometer, and it was some time before they fully understood the implication of their new field of work. Only a couple of people working in the laboratory had even a superficial familiarity with the work being done in the Soviet Union and abroad, obviously, on analog machines for solving differential equations. Most of the workers were young, and all but one were specialists in radio electronics who had graduated from the Kiev Polytechnic Institute just before the war. Only two of them possessed graduate degrees, and both of these had only just been defended. However, most of the 1948 year was spent training these new recruits on the basic principles of electronic computing, the binary system, the properties of vacuum tubes, the stored program concept, and so on. This work was done in seminar formats, led by Lebedev. Members of the Institute of Mathematics and the Institute of Physics of the Ukraine Academy of Sciences also participated. By late 1948, this group had been trained and, together with Lebedev, completed the basic design of the machine they would build. In early 1949, the size of the laboratory was increased to approximately 20 people. This allowed Lebedev to divide his team into smaller groups of 3 or 4 people each. These groups were responsible for working on individual units of the machine. By April 1945, Lebedev and Ellen Dashevsky perfected the design of the flip-flop circuits that would form the basis for their arithmetic unit. They also conducted investigations on the generation of steady electronic impulses for the machine clock. The basic design of the circuit controls, a first draft of the arithmetic unit, and many of the features of the main memory were also completed by early 1949. At the same time, Lebedev was faced with a difficult problem in war-torn Kiev, where to build the machine. Kiev had been particularly hard hit by the war, and nearly everything was in short supply. One of the most severe shortages was housing and building space. Dushevsky's widow described in 1990 how her husband was forced to work at only a small table in their one room in a communal apartment, and how he cheerfully chanted flip-flop, flip-flop, flip-flop as he labored. Almost nearly consistent interruptions from those who had to walk through the Dushevsky's room to get to their own, Dushevsky diligently worked on the design of the Messem's arithmetic circuits. Despite the fact that Dushevsky was a decorated war veteran and a Communist Party member, the housing shortage was so severe that he was unable to get an apartment of his own. It's also worth pointing out that very few people within the academy, and even fewer outside of it, were convinced that Lebedev's laboratory should be made a high priority. In the late 1940s, almost no one anywhere in the world would recognize the potential of digital computers. Despite the heavy Soviet investment in science and technology in the immediate post-war years, Lebedev had to struggle for financial and material support. In this regard, M.A. Lavrentyev played a decisive role. He appealed to the Ukrainian Academy of Sciences for space, and in early 1949, a former monastery in a Kiev suburb was made available. This monastery had suffered severe damage during the war, and when Lebedev moved his laboratory there in the summer of 1949, the working conditions, to say the very least, were extremely primitive. The building contained no furniture of any kind. There was a complete lack of central heating. Although several of the rooms in the monastery contained wood-burning stoves, the engineers themselves were forced to chop wood to fuel them. Another serious obstacle was simply getting to this monastery, which was located about 15 kilometers outside of Kiev. At that time, there was no public transportation to or from the suburbs, and there was not even a paved road. Hence, a small old Soviet truck called a gazek was acquired to transport the engineers back and forth. As often as not, the gazek would get stuck in the mud in the spring and fall or in the snow in the winter, and the entire group would be forced to disembark and push. One final problem that had to be solved before the Messem could be conceived was the size of the machine. It was estimated that machine would require about 50 square meters of space, more than any single room in the monastery. To solve this problem, a construction crew had to be brought from Kiev, and one of the walls separating two of those rooms had to be knocked down. The ceiling between the first and second floors had to be removed as well, because the projected height of the machine exceeded that of the two rooms. By the end of 1949, the metal framework for the Messem was in place. Work continued on individual units of the machine through early 1950, and began on the construction of the control panel. In late spring and summer, individual units were installed in the machine and linked together, and the testing began. During testing, a number of unexpected problems arose. For example, at one point it became clear that loose wires were charging the machine's housing. If great caution were not exercised, coming into contact with the machine could cause one to receive a 250-volt shock. To alleviate this problem, a special insulating shield between the machine and its metal frame had to be developed. Another very serious problem concerned the roughly 6,000 vacuum tubes used in the machine. The flip-flop circuits, which formed the core of the arithmetic unit, required tubes of a single type operating in parallel. There was little uniformity in the production of the tubes, however, and it was rare for two tubes, even of a single type, to have the same characteristics. Consequently, for each flip-flop circuit, hundreds, and sometimes thousands, of tubes had to be tested. Further, even after a particular tube was deemed acceptable and the characteristics would often change over the life of the tube, a partial solution to this problem was adapted whereby all of the vacuum tubes destined for use in the machines would be placed in a special waiting stands where their characteristics would be trained for 30 hours. A third problem with the tubes was their tendency to swing for about 2 hours each morning after the machine was turned on. The problem was quickly alleviated by leaving the machine on for 24 hours a day. Initially, this meant leaving a guard with the machine overnight due to the fear that the machine would catch fire while unattended. Soon, however, engineers were working on the machine in round-the-clock shifts. From that time on, the machine was in continuous use, except when it went down for maintenance. Finally, the vacuum tubes generated a tremendous amount of heat, and the temperature in the machine room would often hit 30 degrees Celsius in the winter and as high as 40 degrees Celsius during the summer months. The building contained no air conditioning, and the machine was cooled only by forced air from fans. In the summer, however, the heat often became so extreme that the tubes began to give off random impulses, and the machine had to be turned off and cooled. By November 1950, although the arithmetic unit still required some further development, and the operational memory was not large enough for any problem of practical significance, the Messam was ready for its first test as a fully assembled machine. On November 6, 1950, it solved its first simple problem. Two of the engineers working on the Messam at this time described one of the machine's early successes. And thus, finally, our Messam began to take its first working steps. Merely to think about the question given to it from the control panel, how much is 2 times 2, to great joy of all of us, it almost always answered 4. During the last 2 months of 1950, additional memory was added, and the operations of addition, subtraction, multiplication, and comparison were improved. On January 5, 1951, the Messam was demonstrated to a commission of scholars from the Ukrainian Academy of Sciences. At this time, the original goals of the Messam project were fulfilled. Lebedev's initial purpose in creating the Messam was to develop a small prototype model that would allow him to test his ideas before devoting large amounts of time, energy, and resources to creating a high-speed computer. Before it was successfully demonstrated in January 1951, the Messam was not intended to be fully functioning, stored program computer capable of useful applications and practical problem solving. In a report to the president of the Ukrainian Academy of Sciences, Lebedev summarized the work his group had done in the following way. In 1948 and 9, I worked out the basic principles of constructing of such a computing machine. Taking into account the exceptional significance of high-speed electronic calculating machines for our national economy and especially for military technology, and also the absence here in the Soviet Union of any kind of experience in building and operating them, I needed to create as quickly as possible a small electronic calculating machine on which it could be possible to investigate the basic principles of computer construction, to verify the methods of solving individual problems, and to accumulate operational experience. In connection with this, it was decided originally to create a functional model of the machine with the goal of transforming that model in the future into a small electronic calculating machine. This change in the goals of the Messam project reflects both the significant initial uncertainty about the endeavor and the rapid pace of achievements in digital computing throughout the world. First-generation digital computers such as the ENIAC or the Messam were the most complex electronic devices ever built at the time. In addition, the vacuum tubes, which were needed by the thousands, were notoriously unreliable. Although it seems hard to imagine today, the possibility that these machines would simply not work well enough to be of practical use was very real indeed. Even before Lebedev had demonstrated that the model at Messam worked in practice, this had changed, and he began to work on the design of a high-speed computer. This was the start of the Bessem project. At the same time he was designing the Bessem, Lebedev realized that it would be a number of years before such a project could be completed. In light of this, he simultaneously oversaw the transformation of the Messam from a functioning model to a fully working machine capable of solving reasonable problems. This work began in earnest in January 1951. The more significant improvements the Messam required involved increasing both the main and auxiliary memory and the addition of input and output units. In particular, Lebedev and his two chief engineers felt that 7 essential improvements would have to be made to the Messam. These were, first, increase the size of the main memory. 2, add a number of commands, including an operator for the transfer of control from the main program to a subprogram. 3, add a special unit for rounding off results. 4, add auxiliary memory devices and a method for the automatic recording of results from the main memory. 5, add a teletypewriter for the automated input of data. 6, introduce an automatic voltage regulator in the power supply of the machine. Finally, 7, replace certain parts in the machine shown to be too unreliable for extended use. It was hoped that the improvements would be completed by the end of 1951. The greatest difficulty Lebedev encountered was in convincing others that his work on digital computing was vitally important and deserved top priority. 2 conflicts that arose during 1951 illustrate this clearly. the Ukrainian Academy's desire to transfer Lebedev's laboratory to Moscow and delays in acquiring a magnetic drum for the MESEM. Despite initially providing material and financial support for Lebedev's laboratory and the success of the MESEM test in January 1951, sometime during that month, or perhaps early February, A.V. Paladin, the president of the Ukrainian Academy of Sciences, suggested that Lebedev move his laboratory to Moscow. The formal tone and the strong language Lebedev used in his reply seemed to indicate that Paladin wanted to get rid of Lebedev and his laboratory. Lebedev responded that the interruption caused by a move would put his project 5 months behind schedule. In addition, a number of important scientific problems were in the process of being solved on the MESEM, and if the machine were to be moved to Moscow, they'd have to be suspended. Finally, Lebedev pointed out that the collective experience of his engineers in Kiev was indispensable to the effective operation of the MESEM, and at least in the short term, irreplaceable in Moscow. He therefore concluded that transferring the MESEM to Moscow, at least in the short term, would be impossible. It would result, he said, not in the acceleration of work on electronic calculating machines, but rather in its retardation. He closed his letter by urging Paladin to provide him with the necessary support to complete his work on the MESEM in a timely fashion. Paladin acquiesced, but his support of the Ukrainian Academy was still slow in coming, as is evidenced by the difficulties Lebedev encountered in obtaining auxiliary storage devices for the MESEM. In the middle of 1950, Lebedev asked A.A. Karachevich of the Institute of Physics of the Ukrainian Academy of Sciences to develop a magnetic drum and tape drive that would serve as the MESEM's main external storage unit. At the time, Karachevich was the head of the laboratory that was investigating the physics of recording electronic impulses on magnetic materials. He was also familiar with Lebedev and his work through his active participation in Lebedev's early seminars on the principles of electronic computing. Hence, he was a logical choice. Karachevich had promised to deliver the drum to Lebedev in early 1951, but encountered difficulties and repeatedly asked him for more time. When by April 1951 the drum was still not completed, Lebedev began to complain openly and bitterly. The primary cause of his anger was his belief that the main reason for the delay was Karachevich's lack of effort and not any unforeseen technical problem. At the beginning of August 1951, Lebedev accepted a resolution of the Council of Ministers of the USSR to complete a fully operational small electronic computer during the fourth quarter of 1951. This made the delays in the acquiring the drum even more serious. Armed with a Cabinet of Ministers resolution, Lebedev issued another appeal in October 51, this time to the Vice President of the Ukrainian Academy. In his letter, Lebedev complained that not only about Karachevich's failure to complete the drum, but also about a number of broken promises by the Academy as well. In particular, Lebedev wrote that the failure of the Academy to repair the central heating unit at the monastery and to provide military protection for the laboratory could very easily jeopardize the project. The drum eventually was completed in late 51, while Lebedev's group developed their own magnetic tape drive for the MESEM. The lack of enthusiastic support that Lebedev encountered from Karachevich and the Academy illustrates an important point about digital computing in the USSR in the late 40s and early 50s. At first glance, Paladin's 1951 desire to have Lebedev's work transferred to Moscow seems quite remarkable. Research and development of digital computers would eventually become a high-priority field with significant implications for science, industry, and especially the military. At a time when the Cold War was already raging and Stalin was devoting vast resources to the development of the atomic and hydrogen bombs, the added prestige, not to mention the perks, of overseeing and controlling a project with a major military implications should have been very appealing to Paladin. But one must remember that the value and significance of digital computing in 1951 were far from obvious. As already mentioned, numerous scientists in the Soviet Union and the United States initially believed that such complex devices would never be reliable enough to work, let alone to be usefully applied. Many others believed that the analog computing, with its proven success at solving differential equations in the latter 1930s and early 40s, held greater potential. And still others argued for some time that special-purpose computers designed for a specific set of tasks would be more effective, more reliable, and easier to build. Even Lebedev must have harbored some initial reservations, as can be seen in his desire to build a Messim prototype before embarking on the construction of a fully functional computer. By late 1951, the modifications necessary to make the Messim a fully functional operating computer were nearing completion. In December, a commission of the Soviet Academy of Scientists came to the monastery to test the Messim. The commission stayed for 3 days, during which the Messim was extensively exercised. On December 25, 1951, the commission formally accepted the Messim for full operation. Following reports by Lebedev to the presidiums of the Soviet and Ukrainian Academies of Science, the Messim was deemed successfully completed on January 12, 1952. At the time it was accepted into formal operation, the Messim had an average speed of 50 operations per second. It used fixed-point binary numerical representations and three address instructions. During all of 1952 and early 1953, the Messim remained the only stored program computer in the entire Soviet Union. With the acceptance of the next computer, the Besim, in April 1953, the workload assigned to the Messim began to ease. Based on the experience gained during its first year of operation, it was decided to make a number of technological improvements to the Messim. These included replacing all of the vacuum tubes with a more reliable variety, changing the numerical representation of the machine to a word length of 21 bits. During 1953 and 1954, several changes were also made to facilitate the input of data. After these improvements were made, the Messim continued to be used actively until 1956, when it was transferred to the Kiev Polytechnic Institute. There, it was used for another 3 years to train young programmers before being scrapped for parts. Not a single piece of the Messim has survived to this day. Over the next 2 decades, until his death in 1974, Lebedev directed the design and construction of a number of Soviet computers based on his work on the Messim. These included, among others, the Besim 6, a machine that was designed in the early 1960s that quickly became the workhorse of Soviet computing. Over 350 of these machines were eventually built. Throughout his career, the machines Lebedev developed were based for the most part on original designs with original architectures. His goal was not only to build high-speed computers, but also to encourage the indigenous development of the nascent field of computer science and technology. On this level, his machines, as well as much of Lebedev's later work, were significant achievements. In addition, Lebedev transformed a fledgling computer institute into a powerful center of computer research and development. He established educational programs in electronic computing at high schools and university levels. He sponsored the publication of a wide variety of works in computing. And he also chaired the first all-Soviet conference on high-speed computation in 1956. It was largely due to these efforts and those of his friend and fellow academician, M.A. Leventiev, that electronic computing became firmly established as a new scientific discipline in the USSR during the 1950s. You've been listening to Computing Lives. This podcast about Sergei Lebedev and the birth of Soviet computing is based on an article by Gregory Crow and Cy Goodman that appeared in Volume 16, Number 1 of The Annals. More about The Annals of the History of Computing, as well as other publications of the Computer Society, can be found at www.computer.org. Click on the tab that says Technical Magazines. Other Computer Society podcasts can be found at www.computer.org/podcasts. If you have any comments, you can send them to podcasts@computer.org. You'll find that the music for this podcast came from the Podshow PodSafe Music Network. We thank them, and we tell you that you can find them at music.podshow.com. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.